I'm Alan Combs. This is Heal Planet. I'd like to welcome the co-founders of the Merlin Project. Dr. George Hart is a physicist, has done work for years with the Pentagon and, among others, helped invent the excimer laser. If you're wearing contacts, there's a good reason, a good possibility he had something to do with that. Paul Guercio is a futurist who for years has studied all kinds of predictive systems, ancient systems, modern systems, and the two of them together have formed the Merlin Project. Paul, tell me about the genesis of Merlin.
I just want to make a slight correction here, Alan. If you're no longer wearing contacts, I think that would be more correct. Isn't that, George?
That's absolutely correct. If you're no longer wearing contacts, it's because of the kind of surgery that is now available thanks to Dr. George Hart. Thank you for the correction.
I want to give George some real serious credit here. How did it happen? I was lucky enough over the years of the late 70s and early 80s to be a regular on a program up here in Boston on WBZ with the thrice given PhD talk show host, Dr. David Brudnoy. David had been doing shows in Boston since the early 70s, and I connected up with David in the later 70s, and then from then on for probably 20 years, David and I did shows together. George was working at a think tank on the suburbs, and I understand he was driving home or on his way home and was listening to Dr. Brudnoy and had been a regular listener to David, and somehow had managed to miss me, even though Brudnoy had me on maybe three or four times a year for about 10 years at that point. Right. And George heard the show. It was on Halloween in 1988, and which I swore I would never do Halloween shows, but David talked me into it, and I was on that night, and Dr. Hart heard that show and got in touch with me and wanted to know what it was I was up to, because what I was talking about that night was time and how time might have an ability to predict the future if you used it properly. As a result of that conversation, George made an appointment to come in and see me, and that led to a series of get-togethers over the next 6 months or so, at which point George left me a phone message which basically said, look, I have a bunch of SDI guys who have some time on their hands, we might be able to whip up a computerized version of what you're doing if you can lay out the parameters. Well, he came over on the 4th of July in 1989, we sat down, and for about 2 hours at the kitchen table, we mapped out what this program would have to look like, you know, what the parameters of it were, what kind of algorithms would have to be put into it, and so on. And George turned it over to the people he worked with, and he and they worked on this for several months and came up with a working program, an initial working program, of what we now call the Merlin Time Tracks.
George, let me ask you, from the perspective of a physicist, what attracted you that fateful night riding down the road and listening to David Brudnoy, who we all know and respected and miss now that he is gone, sadly. What attracted you to what Paul was doing that eventually brought you together?
For many years, diving fairly deep into physics, it became clearer and clearer that science and physics and math did not capture all aspects of the universe that we live in, especially some very meaningful ones that famous physicists like Werner Heisenberg had discussed with Carl Jung. And part of this deals with coincidence and time and patterns and how meaning can connect them all together. What I heard coming from Paul in his conversation with David Brudnoy was a very systematic way of approaching that important deep question, in particular being able to use this to predict tides of activity in a person's life or the flow of events on the world stage. So I wanted to learn more from Paul and discovered in the conversations that he had spent at that point at least 20 years looking very intensely at historical systems for doing this going back millennia, and had come up with a simplified way of predicting patterns of activity in people's lives that could be computerized.
And Paul, what are the applications of this?
Well, Alan, what's interesting about this is that about a year and a half, 2 years before I met George, maybe a little less than that actually, I had a baby. I had a child, not personally, but you know, I was there, cutting the cord and things, and didn't think much of it except that I was now a parent. And over the course of the next 2 years or so, up until the time George arrived on the scene, and this almost is prophetic because the two events tied together so well, I had always had the idea that moments of time are unique enough that if you arrive into one, you only share the characteristics of that moment and where it's liable to be going in the future with other people who arrived at that same moment. Now, in some ways, that's the essence of what astrology is all about. Astrology says that if you're born at a particular moment of time, and other people at the same moment, they're gonna do the same things and have the same things happen and so on. Well, I didn't think it was quite that, you know, specific, but that there might be a connection between arriving at a particular moment and what the sequence of events, at least, where the biggies, in other words, are going to come along with other people who are born at that moment. Well, over the following year from this child's birth, my now ex-wife started working for a visiting nurse association in Lynn, Massachusetts. And about 9 months into that employment, she was placed in an office with a woman who was hired to do public relations. And the two of them had come from two entirely different companies, didn't know each other in any way. But it turned out that they both had children on the same day of the same year at the same time at the same hospital.
Well.
Okay. Hmm. And that's the essence of what this is all about. That if there's some truth to that, that people born at the same moment like that have a time pattern that is unique to that particular group of people, you would have it, in my case, right in front of my nose. So we watched this, and the kids lost grandparents at the same time. They had illnesses at the same time. They had injuries at the same time. They even had grandparents who went and bought sweaters at two of the Disney stores, one at Orlando and one up here in Boston. There was the same item, same design, everything. They even had relatives who knitted sweaters from the same simplicity pattern, of which there are probably 7,000 simplicity patterns.
How is this different than astrology?
Well, the idea of it isn't different. The essence of the difference is that astrology says you can predict exact events and exact circumstances. You can't do that. Nobody can do that. Not even a great psychic is capable of doing that, or at least with any consistency. They might do it occasionally. So astrology says you can predict exact events. What we're suggesting is that the patterns of time are unique to the moment that you start something, and that you can look at that pattern and determine where the big changes and where the forks in the road are liable to be, and be right, we've discovered over now almost 30 years of doing this, as often as maybe 80% of the time, if you have a couple of corollary time tracks to play with. So if you have their birthday, if you have, you know, some a major event in their life that happened when they got married, when they lost a parent, or were in a car accident, or whatever it is, if you have a series of those that are all isolated to that individual, if you then run that sequence of dates and you look at them carefully, you will often see patterns that are absolutely unique and time-sensitive, so that you can predict when the next one's going to happen based on when the last one happened.
Dr. Hart, you see the science in this, don't you? I mean, this is predictive systems that are traditionally associated with things like psychics and astrology tend to have a negative image, certainly among scientists. would you obviously recognize that there's much more of a scientific element to this kind of these kinds of predictions?
George?
Yes, in the sense that, as in any good science, if you make a number of observations and you find data that just doesn't fit the current paradigm, the current explanation we have of the world, you just have to keep your mind open and try different tools to see if you can tease out what is going on. A century ago, that's how quantum mechanics was founded. There are things that happen in our lives, coincidences like the one that Paul described with the sun, which are so striking that you end up convinced that there's something else going on here underneath the surface. And it isn't traditional science, as you would run into in physics or chemistry, but there is an order to it. There are rules that seem to apply, and it can be systematized. It seems like many people, at least, have a sense that part of the universe is structured that way. Otherwise, I don't think things like Game of Thrones would have anything like the success it has achieved. You've got many key figures in that story that are deeply plugged into the world that Paul's talking about, whether it's the Red Woman or the Three-Eyed Raven or many of the other characters. Many of us know that there's a dimension of life that works like this. Paul is trying to develop a tool that speaks to it. And it is scientific, at least in the sense that you have trial and error, that we have parameters within the algorithm and the computer code we developed that can be modified until you start getting a statistically significant number of hits and public predictions that work out. Prediction.
We're talking with Dr. George Hart and Paul Gersio, co-founders of the Merlin Project. You indicated, Paul, obviously you can't be specific, and there are certain things that perhaps, people believe an astrologer could tell them or a psychic that really can't be as specific as those consumers may like them to be. How much specificity can Merlin bring to an issue?
Well, let me give you an example. In this year, there were, I believe, something like 25 people running for president. And each time someone announced, we ran a time track on them to see what it looked like. And very early along, probably in some cases a year ago, we were able to dismiss about 22 or 23 of them and said these people will never be president. And we posted those results on Facebook at the time we made the predictions. In other words, we said, here's a list of people who aren't going to be president as they joined the list. Well, people thought we were a little nutty, I think, because for the whole idea of posting who's not going to be president is impossible with those kind of numbers. I think George ran a statistical survey on it once and came up with the fact that at an absolute minimum, the chance odds of being able to do that was 1 in 750. Isn't that right, George, then, the numbers?
Yes.
And the 1 in 750 is an enormously odd odds. I mean, you're really sticking your neck out when you do something like that. But we did it partly to show people that you can do it. That if the time track basically says nothing's going to happen, and it did that clearly, for instance, for Jeb Bush, who had spent $200 million and never got out of single digits. If you look at Jeb Bush's time track in comparison to, say, Donald Trump's, or you look at Donald Trump's in comparison to Rick Perry or, you know, most any of these other people, including Ted Cruz, you say, well, these people, if there's anything true to this, these people aren't going anywhere. We were saying that about people who were considered to be the front runners, and then look what happened. So the chance odds of that happening are so large and so significant that you have to sit back and say, well, there's got to be something to this, because guessing is not an explanation.
So, Dr. Hart, how do you develop the code? I don't want to get too technical here, but how do you develop the back end, the back office, to be able to allow these predictions to take place?
There's two parts of that. One, and Paul has already described, which are extensive interviews with Paul to get the essence of the set of rules that Paul had developed over time, and which he was using to do calculations by hand to make these predictions. You get the rules in hand, and then you worry about what you need, as you say, on the back end in two senses. There are a lot of heavy-duty calculations that stand behind each of the individual predictions or time tracks that we create, so much so that you could not possibly do them in real time and have it work on a smartphone. But we can do that in batch processing once and create data files that we then can access. The other thing is to develop a user interface in a smartphone that anybody can turn to and quickly use. We were lucky to get a skilled programmer from Bank of America to do this for iPhones, and a programming team in the Philippines to do it for Android. And what I should stress here, which is beautiful, is that some 30 or 40 years ago, I was involved in creating one of the first computer dating services in the United States, but we were unfortunately way ahead of our time in terms of the available technology. Merlin was born to be used on a smartphone because its output is essentially graphical. From the beginning, 27 years ago, we always hoped we could do what we do now, which is to give people a seismograph of their life or their company's life or their child's life, where you at a glance can see periods of high activity and very quiet periods in their lives. Again, the right computer programming came up at the right time to make possible what Paul had envisioned.
This also, is Heal Planet. We're talking with Dr. George Hart and Paul Garcia, co-founders of the Merlin Project. Paul, when George talks about the app, there's a Merlin app that people can download and put in a date, a start date for something or their birthday, and then they're going to see a graph. And what does that represent? What does it look like? I know we're not a visual medium, but what does it look like and what does it represent?
Well, it kind of looks like a colored version of the Dow Jones, in the sense that you see a trend line going up and down or not being visible at all. I was just going to mention when you were talking there that we also have to give credit here to George's colleague, Lou Palumbo, who did a lot of the grunt work here in making these calculations possible to even turn them over to the people that did the app. Let me give you an example. Let's say you went to lunch with somebody who was offering you a job or offering a prospect in investment or something. And at the end of the lunch, they got up and left, and you were sitting there mulling over this idea. And you pulled out your smartphone, and you punched in the date and time that you started the lunch or you met the guy. And you looked at the time track of the next several years. Well, if the time track is blank, there's virtually no activity going on from that year through to maybe 4 or 5 years later, you'd have a pretty good idea that this thing's not going anywhere and you'd be wasting your time to get involved in it or put any money into it. However, in looking at the time track, you might see that it's a fifth year, a fourth year or something, all of a sudden the trend line goes crazy and shows all kinds of activity. You would then be the only person who knows that at the 4 or 5 year mark, this idea is going to catch on, and you might want to come back to it at that 4th or 5th year and look into see where it's going and jump on board, because that's the point where the activity is indicating that there may be something really valuable to get involved in. Now, how else would you do that? Who would you ask? Where would you look? There is no information on that. You couldn't ask anybody. If you knew a great psychic, you could probably say, well, you know, is this ever going anywhere? And they might kind of scratch their head and say, you know, I see a 4 or something. Okay, this is much more tangible than that. This is a graphic that says, look, around the 4th year, this is about going to change track, and the activity is going to perk up considerably. Now, on the other hand, you might look at it and see that there's immediate activity, but after the first year or so, the activity drops down to nothing, which means it's going to be there's going to be activity at the beginning, but then it's not going anywhere.
How reliable?
That's true. With a bunch of our presidential candidates this last go around.
I was going to ask George, Is this something you can take to the bank? I mean, is it ever wrong? I mean, there must be variables that don't make it 100% all the time.
In general, we would claim that we're probably between 75 and 80% accurate. Now, one of the things that we stress that really helps is that if there are multiple time tracks that you can run to look at a particular situation, the CEO of a company, the chief financial officer and other key people there, the day the company was founded, I'm talking exactly about the kind of thing you could do with Apple Computer or Amazon, and those predictions turned out quite well. In something where, as we term it, we can triangulate, then our confidence goes up into the 90% area. This has allowed us on a couple of key things like Ebola versus the Zika virus to publicly repeatedly indicate that Ebola, although dreadful, was not going to become a major global health problem. On the contrary, Zika from the outset looked like it could be real trouble. And this week we learned we already have almost 300 cases in Florida alone. So that the track record of public predictions going back about 25 years indicates that particularly when we can triangulate, we're into the high 90s for accuracy.
When it goes wrong, why does it go wrong? George?
I think Paul's favorite answer there would be incorrect information as to the start date and time, the inception of a project or a person or an event. The other thing is that we only talk about periods of activity or inactivity in a person's life. When you're dealing with one individual, that can become somewhat ambiguous. You can have the time of your life and win, you know, megabucks and at the same time lose a child. Merlin time tracks will not let you sort that out. On the other hand, if you have a very flat time track where there's not much going on, you can say this individual is not likely to become president of the United States, as in the case of Jeb Bush.
So, Paul, you could see great activity on somebody's chart, but don't know whether is that illness? Is it having is it getting married? Is it a great job opportunity? Is it losing a loved one? How do you then narrow it down to predict what the issue at stake is?
Well, you really can't do that with any great precision. I was just thinking that yesterday you and I were talking about Luke Russert and why he was all of a sudden deciding at what has got to be a peak time in a career. I mean, here's a kid who came along when his father died and basically took over the legislative reporting for NBC News. And he's now announced he's going to get out of the business for a while. Well, I looked at the time track today. There's nothing going on until August of 2018. He might as well be out of the business because there's not a lot going on. I was shocked to find that out. But it plays to exactly what you'd expect to happen with that kind of a thing going on. It's almost as though we had advised him, you know, if you want to take some time off between now and 2018, the middle of 2018 is probably a great time to do it. And what's nice about the smartphone capability is that anybody who's listening to this or who, you know, goes and loads on time tracks onto their smartphone can look up Luke Russert's birthday and run the time track and see for themselves exactly what we're seeing. Because this thing doesn't just work for us. This works for anybody who bothers to go to the trouble. And as a matter of fact, because you can go back into someone's past with this, you can go back to their birth and look at the years along the way, you can determine how accurate it would have been had you had it in advance. And knowing that, you know, being able to see that at 20-something came along or at 35-something came along for a couple of years that was very important, you know, if you knew that at the time or in advance of that time, you'd behave differently. You'd look at the options that are around you differently because it would allow you to know that you're in a moment of time when all kinds of things can happen. Now, what George was saying a moment earlier about which way it's going, you know, I like to tell clients that you can't always tell when you're looking at it whether you're going to win a lottery or get hit by a truck. Well, there's a funny story a few years ago of a guy who was going to the lottery office to collect his lottery winnings and got hit by a truck on the way home. You really can't do that. But if you're a good detective, if you go back into the past of that person and you know what this did at other key times, you can sometimes get a grasp of the kind of things that might be offered and how big they're liable to be coming up ahead. And even though you won't know whether it's going to be good or bad exactly, you know either when to take advantage or when to duck. And that's an enormous advantage in dealing with events in a lifetime, because if you don't know when they're going to be or how big they're going to be or how long they're going to last, you're working in the dark. You have no idea. This gives you an idea, which is much better than guessing.
George, do you put in, for example, July 4th, 1776, if you want to know the trajectory of the United States?
Yes. In fact, Alan, many times on your show, we've talked about the consequences of that run, which had indicated that this period of time we're living in right now, perhaps starting in 2008, but going on for about 10 or 16 years, was going to be a very active transition moment, perhaps even a dangerous one for the United States. And when you added to that another pattern we've talked about on your show, which were the 72-year cycle in American politics, where every 72 years, starting from the Constitution, we take a quantum jump of the centralization of power, it again indicated that the election of Barack Obama was a very critical moment in American politics, and that we would be entering a new era. Now in 2016, we can clearly see in retrospect what that means, but these were predictions we were making in the 1990s, because Merlin is a very long-range radar that can point these things out.
So how do you see the country going? I mean, what do you see over the next few years in terms of asking in a very broad way the United States of America?
I'm concerned that time tracks in Merlin may have been far more accurate than one might have wished. We've had an economic problem going back to some of the regulatory mistakes of the Republican years leading up to 2008. But since then, things have taken a much darker turn. When we ran the time tracks on the Baltimore killing that really accentuated Black Lives Matter, and then add to it recent events in Dallas, all the time tracks are starting to add up in an ugly way. Added to that is a real concern about this election. It's an odd one in terms of who the candidates are. Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton. And one of the things that time tracks may have alerted us to is an end to politics as we've known it. Again, sometimes culturally we turn to things, again referencing Game of Thrones, which is all about troubled successions and kingships. And for the first time in American history, we may go beyond a stolen election, and there have been some that qualified that way, whether it was perhaps Bush versus Al Gore or John Kennedy and Richard Nixon in 1960, to one where the system now has been so manipulated. There are questions about the Supreme Court in the year 2000. There now may be questions in 2016 about the FBI, and Hillary may perhaps be elected. Again, Merlin would say perhaps not. But if she is, I'm afraid that a fair fraction of the population may then regard the government itself as illegitimate.
That's already happened, though, and to a large extent, you've got people who believe, I mean, maybe they're off center a little bit, maybe they're out of the mainstream, who thinks that this President Obama was not born here. But you're talking about a broader sense, perhaps, of those who may believe that not just based on that one issue, like a birth certificate, but that in general, there's a lack of legitimacy in a broader sense.
That the system itself has been corrupted. So it's a piecewise thing as you go from stolen elections and then to, well, was the person really born here? Did he fulfill constitutional requirements? The same issue raised with Ted Cruz. And now to that depressing sense of the whole thing is, to use a term that both Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump use, rigged. That means corrupt. That means co-opted. And that means whoever's chosen certainly is the ruler, but we no longer have a democracy or a democratic republic as we understood it. It's something else, and in the eyes of many, it may not be legitimate. And right now, that would apply to many on Bernie Sanders' side as well as several on Donald Trump's. That's not a good place to be, and that goes well beyond politics. That we may have screwed the system. And going back to why we're talking about this now on this program, it's because Time Tracks and Merlin warned one, looking at the strange run starting in about 2004, 2008, that we were entering very dangerous waters. I think we now see what that means.
Well, what are Time Tracks?
What are they?
Yeah.
Well, they are a snapshot turned into a motion picture. I like to think of Time Tracks as a kind of musical score, that every moment of time produces a score which goes off into the future and produces an entirely different sound and set of sounds than any other moment would have produced. So what you share when you share a moment with somebody, either you're born when they are or you're having some event happen at the same time they are, like two people getting married in two different places in the country, but at the same time on the same day, that's gonna log you in to a kind of musical score that's gonna tell you where the highs and the lows are liable to be in advance, and have it turn out like that, something like 8 times out of 10. Now that's a pretty good score. If we were close to chance odds, which is 50-50, it'd be a different story. Anything in science that's 5 percentage points above random is considered to be statistically interesting. We're way above that, and we're way above that from the very beginning. We were probably an average of 20 percentage points above coincidence, a coin toss, from day one with this. So it never dropped below 7 times out of 10. You can say, well, that's highly unlikely. Well, wrong. You're talking to the people who developed it, and George is a scientist. I'm sort of a guy who pokes around turning rocks over to see what's underneath. But George is a scientist. We've looked at the numbers. He came aboard with this with a lot of misgivings and a lot of people who he dealt with on a regular basis who scoffed at all of this. In fact, when we were regulars on Larry King, they used to play the videotape from our Larry King appearances in the lunchroom where he worked and chuckle over it. Okay, well, they're not chuckling anymore, let me tell you. And if you look at what Nate Silver was able to do with this election, we were so far above what Nate had been able to produce. What was he wrong, 16 times out of 19 or something, George?
Yes.
Some incredibly high number. But he doesn't want to talk to us because we were so much closer to the actual mark that he doesn't want to admit it.
I want to talk about for a second here. By the way, we're talking to George Hart, Dr. Hart of the Merlin Project, co-founder with futurist Paul Gersio. Dr. Hart, responsible for many of the, if you're seeing well because you're not wearing contacts anymore, you can thank Dr. George Hart, who invented the excimer laser. Let me ask you about, you mentioned earlier that Paul, in the confluence of two people in an office, two different families, yet having events happen at the same time, and turns out even picking out similar sweaters. We have heard often that studies on twins show that similar events happen at the same times in their lives. We attribute it to the same DNA being born, coming out of the same womb. What you're saying is there's more to it than that. It's beyond whether or not you're biologically attached, so to speak.
It's time twins. It's people who share the same moment of time. And we didn't realize, maybe before George and I came along with any statistical information, that there was really anything to that. Okay, astrology would say, well, they have the same horoscope. Well, yeah, they also say that you're going to have exact stuff happen on exact days, and that simply isn't the case. And after seriously studying those systems, like astrology, like numerology, and tarot, and so on, you come to the conclusion that it's not that it's all nonsense. There's an element in there that's absolutely on the nose, but it's probably no more than maybe 10%. And I always thought that even in the 10 percentile, if you were able to boil something down so that you're only utilizing the 10% that actually works, you're going to have a very accurate system. We had trouble over the years, many, many episodes, where people said, oh, this is just astrology. No, this is what astrology would like to be and isn't. It's because we eliminated all the nonsense. We dug down to the base rock to see what consistently produced results, and we only worked with those.
George, is there a consensus in the scientific community about the validity of predictive systems?
It goes in two different directions. Right now, where we're entering into the era of what's termed superintelligence, attention is almost exclusively focused on where artificial intelligence can bring us by taking all the world's great minds and having them work day and night to figure out what you want to buy from Amazon next, which sounds like a joke, but it's actually in good part what's happening. With that power to do massive data mining and so-called big data, we've learned a lot. We now can predict many things financially and economically we never could before. But at the same time, a blindness comes with that. And that is a complete dismissal of anything that is not pure science or a sifting through databases. A lot of wisdom that we had, a lot of intuition has been thrown out the window. So I would say, in answer to your question, it's a particularly unreceptive time for the kind of thing that Paul and I are talking about. And yet, there are certain individuals and traditions that are greatly honored, like Tibetan Buddhism and the Dalai Lama. And if you think about it, the way a next Dalai Lama has traditionally been chosen is a pure exercise in coincidence and signs of a type that will never be captured in a traditional computer program.
Paul, how can people find you, and where can they participate in what Merlin is doing? How can they get a hold of this project?
Well, first of all, we're regulars on your show. We're regulars on something called Coast to Coast, which is heard on 600 radio stations around the country and around the world, on satellite radio, and on various podcasts like this. The easiest way to get in touch with us probably is to sign up for Twitter or Facebook. Our Twitter handle is @TimeTracks, TimeTracks. There's an S, but there's no C, TimeTracks, @TimeTracks for Twitter. They can go look at these time tracks on Instagram. We are, the access code on Instagram is TimeTracks, TimeTracks. We have a 24-hour toll-free phone number that they can call to find out more information about what we're up to, and that number is 866, it's toll-free, 866-298-7688. That's 866-298-7688. They can write us. We're Merlin Project. That's all one word, no spaces. Merlin Project @gmail.com. They can look us up on Facebook. We are the Merlin Project Research Group on Facebook, and all of this stuff that we were talking about this afternoon is all posted out there, including a lot of the time tracks. And they can follow up on this by purchasing this app which is available if you have a smartphone. There is an ability to buy apps directly on the phone. There's an icon on the Apple system called called App Store, and on the Google system for Android users, it says Google Play. You tap that icon, and it will take you to the place where you can purchase these things. Merlin can be had for under $30 a year. You can have it in your hot little hand to use at your leisure. And quite frankly, you can run the time tracks for a lot less than it costs to come see me or to do an appointment on the phone, because you'll get half a dozen time tracks and pay a lot more money for them. Even though you will get a personal interpretation, you can run these all yourself, and it's not that hard to read them. Once you get used to looking at them and seeing what they say and noticing how that compares to the reality of the events going on, reading them becomes rather easy. I think if I have a problem with this, we're giving it away too easily. But other than that, those are the easiest ways to get in touch with us. I don't think I left anything out there, George.
No.
Okay.
I thank you both very, very much. There's certainly a lot to explore. The Merlin Project, the co-founders are Dr. George Hart, physicist, futurist Paul Gersio, and this is Heal Planet. Thank you both very much.